Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we've got a really fundamental topic lined up, and it's thanks to the great sources you sent over. So get ready, we're diving deep into unemployment. Our mission, really, is to walk through these sources together. We'll try to figure out what unemployment actually means, we'll look at how it's measured, which is surprisingly tricky, and understand the different reasons people find themselves out of work, and also grapple with the big consequences for people, for society, for the economy. By the end, you should have a much clearer picture of this really, really crucial economic idea.
Absolutely. And understanding unemployment is just so key. The material you provided, it really hammers home that it's like a vital sign for the economy's health. And, you know, how well the labor market is actually working. It's fundamentally about using or not using our human resources, people's skills, their potential. When that's sidelined, it's a huge loss.
Okay, let's jump right in then. First up, according to these sources, what is unemployment? Because I suspect the everyday idea might be a bit different from the strict economic one.
That's a great point. Yeah, the sources are very specific here. It's not just anyone without a job. Unemployment, technically, is when people are willing and able to work at the going wage rate, but they just can't find a job. The crucial part is they're in the labor force. They're actively looking. That's the definition. And this matters because, well, like we were saying, it signifies underutilization. It's talent and effort just wasted, essentially. When the economy doesn't create enough jobs for those looking, that's when it becomes a major drag on everything, not just for the person affected.
Right. So it's not someone who's, say, retired or maybe a full-time student or someone choosing not to work for whatever reason. It's specifically about wanting a job, being able to do it, looking for it, and coming up empty. That distinction feels really important.
Exactly. It's a critical difference. And because it's such a vital sign, the sources explain it's usually measured as a percentage of the total labor force. That's the unemployment rate you always hear about. It's supposed to be that barometer for how the job market and the wider economy are doing.
Okay, got it. So if this rate is so important, how do they actually, calculate it? The sources mention a couple of main ways, but they also kind of hint that getting that number right is, well, not simple.
Not simple at all. You see that headline number, but getting there is complex. The sources lay out two main methods. First, you've got the claimant count method. This one basically just counts people claiming unemployment benefits, like job seekers allowance, things like that. The upside, it's pretty straightforward, relatively quick to get the data. But the big downside is, well, it only counts people getting those benefits. If you're unemployed but don't qualify, or maybe you just don't claim them, you're missed, so it can be inaccurate.
Okay, so it misses people. What's the other way then?
The other main one is the Labor Force Survey, or LFS. This is quite different. It's a survey. They actually ask people questions. Are you actively looking for work? Are you available to start a job? The aim here is to get a broader picture, capture people who aren't on benefits too.
Right, so one counts claims, the other asks people directly. Seems more thorough.
Yeah.
But even with these two, the sources say getting a perfect picture is still really tough. Why is that? What are the snags they mention?
Yeah, this is where it gets tricky because the official number you hear, it can often seriously underestimate the real situation. The sources point out several big issues. One is what they call hidden unemployment. These are people who've just gotten so discouraged looking for work, they've stopped. Given up because they aren't actively seeking, boom, they drop out of the official count, even if they'd probably grab a job if one came along.
Discouraged workers. Okay.
What else?
Then there's underemployment. Now, these people have jobs, so they count as employed. But maybe they're stuck in part-time work when they desperately need full-time hours. Or, they're highly skilled but working a low-skill job just to get by. Think like the classic example of an engineer driving a cab.
Right. They're working, but it's not really utilizing their full capacity or meeting their needs. Exactly. Their potential is wasted, but they don't show up as unemployed. Also, the informal economy. Cash in hand work, stuff that's not officially registered, people doing odd jobs, maybe working for small unregistered businesses. That work isn't really tracked. So if it dries up, people lose their income. They become unemployed in reality, but they might not appear in the official stats.
Okay, so hidden unemployment, underemployment, the informal sector. Anything else?
Well, yeah, just the basic limitations of surveys like the LFS. There are always potential sampling errors. You can't ask everyone. And then there's misreporting. People might not answer completely accurately, maybe unintentionally, maybe not. So you add all that up, the discouraged workers, the underemployed, the off-the-book stuff, survey issues, and yeah, the official rate. It can definitely give a misleadingly rosy picture sometimes.
That really drives it home. The number you hear on the news might just be scratching the surface. This is why diving deeper like this is so useful. And speaking of deeper, it seems unemployment isn't just one single thing. The sources break it down. Different types, different causes. Let's unpack those.
Absolutely. And understanding the why is so important because, you know, the solution for one type might be totally wrong for another. The sources identify several distinct categories. First off, there's frictional unemployment. This is usually short-term, kind of natural, actually, in a dynamic economy. It's basically people who are temporarily between jobs. Maybe they quit to find something better, or they're just entering the workforce, like new grads, or someone moving cities. It's that gap while searching.
Okay, like the normal churn of the job market.
Pretty much. Then you have structural unemployment. This one's often more serious, more long-term. The root cause here is a mismatch. Either the skills workers have don't match the skills employers need, or the jobs are just in the wrong place compared to where people live. This happens a lot with big economic shifts, technology changing, industries declining, globalization. Maybe factory skills aren't needed anymore, but tech skills are. It's hard for those workers to just switch.
So a deeper problem than just waiting for the next job opening.
Definitely. Then there's cyclical unemployment. This one's tied right to the ups and downs of the economy, the business cycle. It shoots up during recessions or slowdowns. Why? Because overall demand for goods and services falls off. Businesses cut back production, they lay people off. This type goes up when the economy's bad and down when it recovers.
Makes sense. Recession hits, jobs disappear.
Exactly. And then you've got seasonal unemployment. This is pretty straightforward. It's just due to regular, predictable changes in demand during the year. Think tourism, busy in summer, dead in winter. Or farming, tied to planting and harvest seasons. Workers in those industries might be unemployed during the off-peak times.
All right, like ski instructors in July.
Precisely. And one more the sources highlight is technological unemployment. This is specifically about automation, machines, AI replacing human workers. Now, technology can boost productivity and create new jobs eventually, but in the short term, it can definitely displace workers, especially those doing more routine tasks.
Wow. Okay, so someone losing a job because the whole economy tanked is just a completely different situation from someone whose job got automated, or someone who just needs a few weeks to find the next gig. Understanding the cause really changes how you'd even think about fixing it. Okay, so we've got the what, the how, and its problems, and the why. Now, the consequences. What happens when people are unemployed? The sources paint a pretty stark picture impacting lots of different areas.
They really do. The fallout is broad and pretty deep. Economically, the most obvious thing is the loss of output. Every unemployed person could potentially be producing goods or services. That potential is lost. So the whole economy produces less than it could lower GDP.
Lost potential for the whole country.
Exactly. And it hits the government's books hard, too. On one side, you have increased government spending. More people need unemployment benefits, maybe other social support. Costs go up. On the other side, reduced tax revenue. Fewer people working means less income tax paid. People have less money to spend, so VAT receipts go down. Businesses might make less profit, so corporation tax falls. It's a double whammy for public finances.
Right, spending more while bringing in less. That sounds like a recipe for fiscal trouble.
It definitely puts a strain on things. Then there are the social consequences. The sources talk about increased inequality and poverty. Especially long-term unemployment, it can really push people and families into hardship, making the gap between rich and poor even wider. Some sources also link unemployment, particularly when it's high and persistent, to higher crime rates, maybe driven by desperation, maybe frustration. And there's this idea of social exclusion. People out of work can start to feel disconnected, marginalized from the rest of society. That can lead to feelings of hopelessness, resentment. It's corrosive.
That sounds incredibly tough on a personal level.
Oh, absolutely. For the individual, the impacts are intense. The most direct is the loss of income, obviously. Financial instability, struggling to pay bills, afford basics. But it goes beyond money. There's a heavy toll on mental health. The stress, the anxiety, potential for depression. A real loss of self-esteem and purpose that comes from work for many people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And one more thing, skill degradation. If you're out of work for a long time, your skills can get rusty. Or maybe the skills needed in the market change while you're out. It can make it even harder to get back in later on.
It's just layer upon layer of negative effects, isn't it?
Okay.
It's not just an economic number. It's lost potential, government strain, social friction, and really deep personal struggles.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. from defining unemployment and wrestling with how hard it is to measure accurately through the different reasons it happens, and finally exploring these really significant consequences.
Yes, and I think the core message coming through from the sources is that unemployment isn't just some abstract economic issue or statistic. It's a major, complex challenge with real human costs. It springs from different roots, hits different groups in different ways, and tackling it really requires a joined-up approach, thinking about education, skills, economic policies, social safety nets, all of it. Well, thank you again for sending these sources our way for this deep dive. It's been really illuminating.
And perhaps something to leave you thinking about, given all those different types of unemployment we discussed, you know, frictional, structural, cyclical. Does it make sense to think there's one single magic bullet policy to fix unemployment? Or does each distinct cause demand its own specific, tailored, kind solution, something to chew on?
That's a great question to ponder. Keep exploring. Keep asking questions. We'll see you on the next deep dive.